You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Skulk Lou, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. And Skulk, yeah, I know you don't get bored, but I've said to many commentators in the last few weeks that I do get bored because there's no real action. I mean, we've got the Fed coming up with something and an amazing amount of results coming out of the US and also stuff going on in South Africa. But it's just that the markets just seem to say, thank you very much. I'll take it, but I won't go up by 10% or down by 10%. What are you feeling at the moment? You must be actually in a sweet spot.
Yeah, I mean, you actually mentioned it. I mean, let's start with the tail first at the top because, I mean, volumes have been extremely low in the local front. You know, when we look at the JSE for the past 5 trading days, now, okay, let's exclude yesterday because yesterday the market was closed. But on Monday, we looked at 13.5 billion rands worth of trades. You know, Friday, there was, you know, not even 15 billion.
Yeah, you know, but before Thursday, you go on. Just over, no, but before you go on, Scott, that's because of the long weekend. I mean, if there's a holiday on a Tuesday, and it's a Friday, so you say to yourself, you go to your boss and you say, I'm taking Monday off, and you put that in your log, and it's natural. So no one's there on Friday and no one's there on Monday. So it's not that unusual, I don't think.
No, but then, to your point, I mean, you're basically implying that our market is only driven by locals. Remember, the US did not have Freedom Day yesterday. The UK did not have Freedom Day yesterday. They did not have long weekend for that
and
matter.
Nobody apart from the Dutch had King's Day yesterday, which is what it is every single year on the 27th of April. Yeah, exactly. Quite right. So, yes, I take your point. But the point is that obviously on the Friday and the Monday, things are going to be quiet.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting to, Lindsay, is not to be technical about quiet or busy. I'm saying that I think the market is highly focused currently on the US results, and when we look at the US results currently, I think it's a definite win. But we're not really seeing major reactions. I mean, the market is, you know, positive. We're seeing, you know, I'm seeing, you know, every day there's some company that's making new highs. And just, you know, bringing back to that point, we look at the S&P 500 as we currently stand, you know, a little bit more than 150 of the 500 companies reported. So that's 30% done. In short, I mean, it's safe to say currently this is going to be a pretty solid, you know, Q1 for 2021. You know, when we look at, you know, the companies that brought out results, you know, 86% of the S&P 500 companies that reported beat, you know, earnings. And when we look at, you know, revenue, 76% of the companies beat consensus on a revenue basis. So this is extremely good. I mean, you know, when we drill through the sectors that still did not reach consensus, funny enough, was energy. You would have thought that with the higher oil price, you would have thought that some of these companies would definitely beat expectations, but clearly not. So energy companies, real estate companies, and industrial companies, those were the companies that missed expectations. But to get back to your point, I think we're sitting in an environment, I think, where most of the investors want to see where this goes. You know, they want to see where the results go. On a local front, I think there was enough information that came out today that gave us great insight on what's going on in South Africa.
Yes.
And we can chat about that, after we maybe run through some of these figures for today, you know, some of the figures.
Let's talk about what you've just said, the outlook for South Africa. I was watching the BBC today, and there was a feature on the fact that the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, was going to be testifying in some court case or something. And there was also a feature on the Freedom Day holiday of yesterday, also on the BBC, and a woman said something quite prophetic. She said, yeah, it's Freedom Day, but there's no freedom when you've got an empty stomach. It was quite an interesting comment, and I thought about it quite a lot.
Yeah, Lindsay, yeah, I think we should not, you know, disregard that the fact, you know, and not to blame anything on COVID, because COVID, I want to say it's done yet, because we're still, you know, very much in the midst of that. But that did have a definite effect. And when you look at, you know, we now, you know, 1994, we're talking about 27 years later, you know, 27th of April yesterday, 27 years later. And there's still, you know, a lot of, you know, holes. There's still a lot of questions, you know, more questions, and a lot of poverty within in South Africa. And we need to address that. I mean, we need to address that, you know, very soon. Looking at the economical side, because, you know, politically, I wouldn't regard myself as the strongest type of person, but you know, on the economic front, I'm really worried. I mean, Lindsay, we had the discussion on inflation.
Yes.
And, you know, a few weeks ago, and this is becoming a major worry for me. I mean, you're talking about empty stomachs. You know, how would people, you know, soon will be able to afford food the way currently going? But because we had a trading update today from Astral. I'm not going to focus too much on Astral, because it's not one of the bigger companies, not a company that we really invested in. But I mean, the headline earnings per share, you know, when they guide it, they're looking at a headline earnings per share that's going to be down between 35% and 40%, and you know, compared to exactly a year ago, or let's call it 31st March 2020, and you would have thought it should look better. I mean, you know, why is this the case? And they immediately went back and said that the increase in corn and soybean prices, that had a major you know, impact on my input cost. So I had a little look, and just for those people out there, you know, corn, you know, is a major contributor in South African food. It's something that we use a lot with wheat, but the corn is a, you know, mealie-pup, and those kind of things are, you know, made from corn. And when we look at corn, the corn process is berserk. I mean, it's not just going berserk, it's going bonkers. I mean, this is a price. I mean, U.S. corn prices, you know, we're trading just this quarter prior to COVID, or in 2019, it was trading below $4, you know, per you know, a bushel.
Yes.
So today, I mean, you should see this graph, and I want to really encourage anyone out there.
I've seen the soybean, the wheat, and the, as they call it in the United States of America, the corn prices. They're at multi-year highs. I mean, I don't know if it's a supply shortage or if it's a demand-driven bull market, but whatever it is, it's out of control.
Yeah, I've got a more than 50-year chart here, and we, you know, last time we've seen these type of levels were, you know, let's call it your 2012-ish levels. 2012, we've seen you know, corn prices go beyond the $7 mark. Currently trading $7.15. This is close to being 100% up.
Mm.
Yeah, it's nearly double from end 2019. You know, when we look at soybean, you know, soybean, similar story. When you look at the soybean, you know, in 2019, this was trading, let's call it $8.50, round about those. Currently trading at $15. You know, 75. Yeah, man, this is crazy, and this to me is a major risk. I just went and said to South African.
When you say a major risk, you mean it's a major inflation risk. In other words, interest rates must go up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think it's you know, you don't need to look too far down the street to have a look at it. I mean, petrol price, you know, we all know with the petrol price currently, we're looking at, you know, it's called over 14 rand, you know, 14 rand and 14.20 a litre. I mean, when we look at 2019, we were looking at, you know, 13 rand 40. I mean, so we're now trading higher than what we've actually traded, you know, 2 years ago, and we're still in the midst of a let's call it a pandemic environment. So that to me is inflation. That to me is the major risk. And when you're talking about people, you know, is worried or, you know, about hunger, you know, this to me is first down, because, you know, besides the fact that there's might be food shortages, we're talking about people not being able to afford, you know, food at these type of increases. So yeah, big worry, definitely a big worry.
Let's have a look at the spot prices, Skulk, if we can. The dollar rand is 14.28, was in the 14.40s this morning. The British pound against the rand is 19.88, and the euro rand is 17.28, with the euro dollar at, oh, goodness me, look at that. Let's call it 1.21 on the nose. The cable, the British pound against the US dollar is 1.39.20. Commodities, your favourite commodity is gold. It's 1774, which is down $4 and a bit. The platinum price is down, goodness me, in the last 24 hours, down $34 an ounce to 1209. Where's palladium, please, Skulk?
Palladium also down $30, currently trading at $2,915.
On the other hand, the West Texas crude price, that's the oil price, up $1.28, or just over 2%. Good performance there. Brent crude oil is up 1 2/3%, $67.55. Where's Bitcoin, please, Skulk?
No, it's holding up, you know, fairly okayish over the, let's call it, past 48 hours. Currently trading at $54,400, but it's still down 1.4%. How's that movement in Bitcoin for the past week? I mean, that is just super crazy.
I mean, it happens on a Saturday and a Sunday when people are bored and they push it around. I mean, I think it was down 15% two Sundays ago. It went down 15%, but it's not just thin trade. It's trading the whole time. It doesn't stop flashing away on there. Again, I don't want to talk to you about that now, but it is an extraordinary story.
It is. But yeah, talking about people, you know, getting bored. I mean, Tesla story is, you know, right up there with the Bitcoin story. I mean, that's just phenomenal. I mean, I listened, you know, with results coming out and, you know, talking about, you know, how many billions of, you know, dollars of Bitcoins they bought in January to offload in the end of the quarter. I mean, and everybody's praising them for doing, you know, an unbelievable deal. I mean, I just don't understand. I seriously don't understand, you know, the mechanics behind that. But maybe I'm getting old.
We're all getting old. Every single day we get older. But I don't understand why Tesla went into Bitcoin. I mean, obviously it's just a punting vehicle. But when Elon Musk phones up the Treasury Department and says, I'm buying $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoins, what do they say to him? I mean, they can't say, You're not being judicious when you buy this thing. They can't say anything to him. But he bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoins. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. And yes, it had an unbelievable impact. But, you know, make no mistake. You know, I think the original, you know, call it justification behind that was, and again, I'm talking under correction, but I read, you know, the justification was that they invested or they bought these Bitcoins to make it possible for people to buy cars, you know, and sell cars with Bitcoins.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I must admit, I don't buy into that.
No.
I mean, I'm really, really just, I've got my own theories about this, but I found it extremely strange.
There's two things I want to talk to you about coming back to South Africa now. Is Pepkor is the first one, and then Investec after that. So let's start with Pepkor, because they came out with a trading update, which was rather favorable, I think.
Yeah. When you say favorable, I mean, I think that's sort of an understatement. I mean, this is a great performance, you know, from their side. We're talking about, you know, revenue that's increased 8.1%. And headline earnings per share, you know, increased 8.9%. You know, this is okay. It's a trading statement, so I think we need to, you know, look at the final figures and drill through. But yes. In general, I'm getting a feeling that, let's call it, this lower interest rate environment is definitely starting to help the retailers. I mean, we've chatted about, you know, the food retailers two, three months ago when we saw, you know, Shopper came through, great results. When we saw, you know, Pick and Pay recently came through, great results. I mean, now you can start seeing it in the clothing retailers as well. And yeah, the market really liked it. Pepkor up over 5% today, 5.2% to be exact. So yeah, I think it's a small win for them.
A big win for Investec, Investec PLC and Investec Limited as well, because I think that this year they're up 36% versus the banking index only being up 4%. I may get my timelines a little bit wonky, but what's happening with Investec? Why are they suddenly doing so well? Because they're on the leaders board again.
Well, okay. Let's just put it out there. I mean, if you look at the recent performances in isolation, then I agree. You know, it's definitely up 36% or 35% as you mentioned. Mm. You know, compared to the banking index that didn't even rise 5%. But if you take the same, let's call it Investec, and plot it over a 5-year period, they still way behind the banking index. So maybe a little bit of a catch up. They I think the market were a bit worried in 2020. I think, what would Investec look like, and how resilient would they be against something like a pandemic? Without, you know, I don't want to call them the big brother, because then Investec might take offense when I call 91 the big brother. But you know, the balance sheet without 91 might be a bit more vulnerable, and I think that's why we've seen the big lag in Investec. You know, and I think now with the market being a little bit more, you know, relaxed and more stable, I think that did help them. I'm not invested in Investec yet. I think I do think that the economic environment, let's call it the risky economic environment, is not over yet. And again, I like Investec, but I do prefer the bigger banks, you know, bigger local banks, you know, like Standard Bank and First Bank.
Okay, so you don't like the niche players, so to speak. Okay, so we've done Pepco, we've done Investec. Let's have a look at the rest of the market today. Let's have a look at the top five major movers. I've got on my screen, Skulk, Textainer, which is up 7.3%. We need not talk about that one. Redefine is up nearly 7%. Investec PLC up nearly 6%. So is Investec Limited. We've spoken about that. And we've also spoken about Pepco, which is up 5.1%. Exaro going ex-dividend, I think, down just over 11%. Goldfields down nearly 5%. Harmony down 3.4%. And that's it. So the digger's not doing so well today, despite the fact that yeah, the commodities are sort of stabilizing a bit.
Yeah, I think one should not forget that gold always remained, you know, a bit of a fear factor investment. And you know, with the recent results, you know, that came out from the US, you know, clearly stating that equities is still doing extremely well with this amount of stimulus, I think that it was just a bit of a breather in terms of gold yields. Again, if you listen to this whole conversation we had in today's podcast, you know, the one hand we're talking about the big worry about inflation, you know, inflation really becoming a when I say major, being super major problem soon, you know, gold will definitely then be something that I would be included in my portfolio. As you know, when you look at historically, gold has always been a very, very nice inflation hedge. You know, other companies that you know, what you didn't mention, I think you talked about Redefine, but two other property companies also, you know, brought out, you know, some news. You know, when we look at you know, not Growthpoint but Capital and Regional, that's a UK focused rate. I mean, Growthpoint holds 51.2% of them. They came out with a trading update as well, just stating that, you know, 95% of their retailers are back in open trading. So they say the footfall is recovering and to the strongest levels that they've seen since the start of the pandemic. So this is extremely good and had a very, very positive effect on Growthpoint. Growthpoint up 4.5% today. Yes. You know, on this news. And then we had Spear. Spear also came out, more Cape Town based property company. And when I say Cape Town based, they're actually, you know, predominantly industrial property based. So 56% of their property being industrials and 27 commercial. They actually came out and said, you know, the occupancy is 94% currently. So we chatted about, you know, last week, you know, walking into a a company like Diskim or Clix? And do I look around and try to find out if this would be a company if I invest in just walking in a retailer? Would I be invested in a company like Wilson Bailey Homes when I drive in Gauteng and I see all these cranes with Wilson Bailey? I say yes. Mm. When you look at something like the Cape Town industrial areas, it is unbelievable, Lindsay. I mean, I know you haven't been here, you know, for quite some time, but just do yourself a favor next time you land at Cape Town International. When you drive through those industrial areas, it's as if every day when I drive past there, there's a new industrial development or, you know, completion. It's unbelievable how that area has unpopped, and clearly the demand is phenomenal for Cape Town. Let's call it Cape Town industrial and commercial property. So they actually mentioned that they're doing really, really well. You know, distributions are not there, you know, where we were, you know, prior to COVID, but it is gradually moving up, and the market really loved it. I mean, the share price up, you know, 12.5%. So yeah, property index today had a wonderful day. When we look at the property sector today, it was up 3.1% in trading day. So
give us the other,
maybe there's some life.
Yeah, give us the other indices as well, and include the property as well, because that's an interesting story. The bounce back, obviously, off a very, very low basis for all of these companies. But anyway, as well as property, give us the other closing indices, if you would.
So the JSE All Share closed the day at 67,740 points. That was up 0.25%. Resources, as you mentioned, Diggers struggling a bit. They were down 13 basis points. Industrials were pretty much unchanged, only up 3 basis points. And financials had a wonderful day. Mm-hmm. They were up 1.8%. And as you just mentioned, I mean, the SA Property Index up 3.1%. So local companies, when you look at our financials and properties, that is usually the, let's call it, predominantly SA Inc. type of companies. They had a wonderful day today. And as you mentioned, not a big move on the Rand. I mean, Rand actually weakened this morning, but actually ended the day somewhat stronger. When you look at the value traded, I started off this conversation on value traded, and I'm going to end it off.
Yes.
Value traded was you know, below 19 you know, billion for today, value traded.
Okay.
Which is not bad, but not good.
No, it's not. It was 13.5 on Monday, 19 on Wednesday. No, it's fine, but it's not good. Sell in May and go away. When is May? It's the 28th today, so we've got 3 days to go. So next week, then we have to watch out, Skulk.
Oh, there we go about that ghost. The sell in May and go away ghost.
Yeah, I think this year it's good. It may work. Skulk Low is a portfolio manager from PSG Wealth in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Skulk will be with me tomorrow morning for the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.